Here come the McElroys. We've got jokes and bits. We're gonna give advice and do funny skits. Laughter, it is in store. Come inside and see. It's time to start. It's my brother, and me.
Yahoo Answer once it responded, flowers are plant genitalia. Secret exposed. Secret revealed. Farmers probably know some shit, though. They probably know some fucking earth wisdom.
They're probably, well, not these days. These days, farmers just flip the switch on the machine that yanks the milk out of the cow's tits.
Do you think that farmers still know how high the sycamore grows?
I don't think, no. No, I think the only...
Why does the grinning bobcat grin?
They don't care about why the grinning bobcat grins. They just want to shower him in chemicals.
You know,
Paint with all the colors of the mountain?
Listen, Douglas, I think your farm is great. I do think that if you did not have that giant sycamore in the middle of it, just to see how tall it'll grow...
What if I cut it down? I'll never know.
You won't live to see it. No one will.
My children's children will.
Your children's children are going to turn it into magazines.
Man, that bobcat sure seems to like it, though. That bobcat seems pleased as punch. How did he do that? I don't know. He's just that way. That's just how he is. Call him Henry. Everything is shale colored. Yeah, dog, it's mountain colors, idiot.
Paint with the color of the mountain.
That's what I do. Apparently, sunflowers fucking rotate to follow the sun across the sky.
Yeah.
It's called heliotropism. Didn't know this. I just learned about heliotropism from Yahoo Answers. Is it real?
I don't want you to learn from Yahoo Answers.
Griffin, you just
yearn.
This is the singularity. Everybody out.
I don't want to learn anything from Yahoo Answers either, but if it happens, then I'm willing to accept it because I love knowledge and I love drinking it up, and apparently heliotropism is the thing. Apparently, Wikipedia is telling me all about waggle dances now. I'm going down a fucking rabbit hole right now.
Griffin to knowledge is like a sunflower to the sun. Mm-hmm. Griffin just tilts
I tilt my little head towards
his,
his genitalia.
I tilt my plant genitalia towards... one of the Yahoo Answers responded, carrots!
Indeed.
Revealed.
I bet you guys cows know... I bet you cows also know some shit, but mostly farmers know some shit about Earth and the way things work that they're not telling us.
About good dirt and bad dirt. I bet that's something they know,
I bet
you know what's funny is they know a lot about farming, but they've never seen like a tall building or like a car.
Yeah,
or, like,
right. They would be horrified.
It would be very scary. But I bet they know all about what happened in Benghazi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I bet they know the truth about Benghazi. If you want to fucking suss that out, put a farmer on the stand.
There's two things farmers know about.
Mm-hmm.
Like agricultural shit.
Yeah.
And foreign affairs.
And Benghazi specifically.
I've been trying to get into gardening. Sydney and I have been trying to plan some stuff. And speaking of secrets that farmers know, one of those secrets that I don't know that I'm betting farmers do is basically not knowing what plants will emerge from the ground and which I will have to retrieve from there. Mm-hmm. I literally had to ask Sydney about basically every plant. Like, will the pepper be in the ground or will it be above the ground? And I bet that's a secret that farmers have on lock pretty much.
Yeah, I bet that's pretty important to just their general survival and their fiscal stability is just knowing sort of like where the carrots are at any given time.
I can never remember. Ah, shit, I did it wrong again. I dug up.
Is it a carrot tree? Fuck.
I can't remember.
I did it bad. I am the worst farmer. I don't know any of the secrets of Mother Earth's beautiful womb that I grow my carrot children inside.
I should never cut down that sycamore.
One of my neighbor farmers told me that if you feed a cow rocks, then he'll poop out whole watermelons that you can sell at the country fair, but they just killed them. They died. They're tricky farmers. That's the secret about farm wisdom. Mm-hmm. Is you they're either telling you something that will enrich your life, like heliotropism and bee dances, or they'll give you a little riddle. They'll play a trick. They'll play a trick on you. They're like bridge trolls.
They're actually descended from bridge trolls.
They are.
All farmers are descended from bridge trolls. They only speak in riddles.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There's another secret for you.
You know that poem, God Made a Farmer?
Mm-hmm.
It's not true. God made a bridge troll. And then they just sort of naturally fell into another vocation.
They defied his teachings, and they left the bridges. Mm-hmm.
And so they were cast out of Eden.
Mm-hmm. That's Genesis 1-1, baby.
Read a book.
Read a book. Specifically, the Bible. Specifically, our new version of the Bible.
The Brothers Grimm presents the Bible.
Take a chance. Is it appropriate to leave a small party? Six people. When someone puts on Gangnam Style and asks everyone to start dancing. That's from Unsure in Oklahoma.
Oh, this is the shittiest. Oops, you're in the shittiest party.
I would actually argue that six people does not constitute a small party.
Well, it's not a party until Gangnam Style comes on, and then it is.
It is a small party in the Dungeons and Dragons sense, but not in the typical social sense.
Here's the verbiage in this question that really throws me off is that if you had asked, is it appropriate to leave a small party when someone puts on Gangnam Style and everyone starts dancing?
Yeah. If you leave that, then you're a stick in the mud.
Uh-huh. But right. When someone puts on Gangnam Style and asks
everyone... Attention, please! Attention, please!
We can all rise to our feet.
I'm going to teach everyone the dance. I learned it from YouTube.
Move your legs from side to side as if you were straddling an invisible pony.
Dance, you beautiful bastards. We are golden gods.
The fun thing about this question is that this person has already lived this scenario, and one of two things happen. Either they feel bad because someone said, everyone start dancing to Gangnam Style, and they said, I'm leaving. And then they walked out the door and never looked back. Or they did do it and they dance and they're wondering, was there another way?
was there an escape option? No, I think it was the former. And I think the next day, the host of the party, this psychopath who dictates when the dancing occurs, came up to them and was like, hey, what the fuck, man? Like, we were having a great time last night.
That was inappropriate, Dave.
You left, and then there were only five people, and that definitely doesn't count as a party anymore. You ruined my birthday.
What if the host of the party was Psy?
Oh, that is egomaniacal.
And he put on his own song and he said, please, it's all I have.
I don't think there's an organism on Earth that is more sick of that song than Dr. Psy. I have to assume.
Nobody likes his ballads. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody likes his tender lovemaking stuff. Everybody just
people try to get into Gentlemen, but they're not feeling it.
People listen to Gentlemen out of fucking courtesy. You know what I mean? But the hook...
We owe him this one.
Yeah. He's given us so much. And we, in turn, have also given him quite a bit. But the hook on that one does not bring me back.
It's sort of like... how people continued to listen to If It Makes You Happy by Sheryl Crow, mm-hmm. because they really appreciated All I Want to Do so much.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like they did all they could do for All I Want to Do. They bought the single, they bought the album, and then when that next album came out with If It Makes You Happy, mm-hmm. they thought, well, you know what? I still owe her. I'm still in debt to her for all the fun that first song brought me.
Right.
It's exactly like that.
There's so many similarities between Psy and Sheryl Crow that I feel like a lot of people just like goes right over their
head. Have you ever seen them in the same room together?
I have not. No, I have not.
Could it be a Phoenix rebirth?
You think did Sheryl Crow fucking die?
No, I'm saying that Sheryl Crow met with like her advisors and she said, I need a new persona. And they said,
she went to Phoenix Online University. Took some classes in Korean. She took a minor in hammer dancing.
Did you guys see that mashup?
Oh, yeah,
that went down good. When the two of them performed that together.
Take a chance. How can I get my dad to be cool? He's a really shy, nerdy guy. He's like 50, so can he really change? My mom walks all over him, and it makes me sad to see that my father is not a real man. Yes, he's a responsible man and a kind man, but not a real man. I want to teach him how to be cool and not so uptight. He needs to start hitting the gym. Going out to socialize and maybe pick up a fun hobby like pool hustling or joining a motorcycle gang.
Oh my god.
Jesus Christ. 50 ain't too late to just fucking switch it and change it.
We're talking about a dad's all that, right? I can't.
Hey, dad, take those glasses off. Oh shit. Your astigmatism. I forgot.
Hey, dad, get off that riding lawnmower, can't buy me, dad. Come on. Let me clean you right up.
Oh my goodness.
Hey, dad of the year? Was that the Rick Moranis movie? What was the Rick Moranis movie?
That was Honey, I Shrunk the
Shrunk the Kid.
No.
It was Honey, I Shrunk my swag. Honey, I blew up my swag.
How can you get your 50-year-old... Well, first of all, you're going to have a frank conversation. Boy, then.
With your dad, Frank.
If your dad's name is Frank, it helps to say, like, listen, you have raised me. You're kind and you're responsible. I know my mom's walks all over you, but I respect what you've done for me and my family. But fuck, you are lame. Manzos, you just... Man, I look at you and it's just... You're just a pitiful husk of negative manliness.
The stork has not been kind enough to bless me with a baby from the Cabbage Patch, but I am 32.
Right.
So I can address something for you. Your dad is 100% aware at every waking moment how uncool he has become. This is not a wake up one day and you have those socks with Argyle socks on. This is a slow descent from relevance that started in his late 20s and just kind of got worse.
Maybe, but maybe he's in
full. I would bet statistically, though, at some point he was probably cool.
That's the thing. He might be in full blown dad denial. He might be in dad denial. Like, he might be like the biggest.
Dad Niles is not a river in Egypt.
I know. You know? It's not.
It's not at all.
Not dad at all. He might be like a big parrot head, and that might be like a mainstay from his youth. And he might just think like, I fucking get it. The world is moving in the wrong direction, and that direction is away from Jimmy Buffett's relevance. I am still on the fucking cutting, bleeding edge.
Is this going to be a Buffett full episode?
Maybe. Or? It's his birthday.
Okay. What?
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, there are those dads out there that are like, oh, yeah, man, I saw the Eagles 3 times last year, and it fucking changed. Like, that's not... That is literally only your definition of cool. Even the Eagles don't think that Steve's is cool.
The Eagles know
the
better.
Eagles are like,
here's the thing.
We need to talk about your Eagles consumption, the Eagles said to the Eagles fan.
The other side of this coin is so much more embarrassing that if you had a dad who suddenly just rolled up one day in full-on, like, leather outfit and biker gear and, like, we ride in a motorcycle and he was like, hey, kids, mm-hmm. let's go check out the concert scene. Mm-hmm. Like, you're
hey,
not
kids,
gonna be
does anybody here like Drake? And then he fans out some Drake tickets.
Yeah, you're not going to be more proud of him.
I would actually, that would be
dumb. That would be pretty funny.
If my dad rode his motorcycle from Ironton, Ohio to Austin, Texas, and then fanned out a fucking fistful of Drake tickets, I don't know a single Drake song, but I would say yes. And I would hop on the back of that Harley and we would go have the best
night. Ride in the sunset. Take a
chance. Oh, this will be interesting if the call and response works out. This one was sent in by Ira Ray.
Are you Ira Ray?
Who wants to know?
Wow, oh, it works.
That's gratifying. It's by Yahoo Answers user Sammy, who asks, what are some simple mysteries that I can solve? Be serious. My dad said to start, it's misspelled start, but it's hard to pronounce it, small and build my way up to big mysteries like spirits and houses, hauntings, etc.
Uh-huh.
I need to know some simple cases. Please and thank you. One of the more mannerly Yahoo answers mm-hmm. we've got sent.
Yeah, I like that politeness. Don't start with Encyclopedia Brown. Those were way hard for me still. Yeah. I cracked one open recently thinking, well, I'm 32 now. This should be. And I'm cut to 20 minutes later. Like, well, okay, the first Battle of Bull Run couldn't have been this because the sword set on that. Love those books. Mm. Didn't make me any better at mysteries, though.
I think your parents have to plan the mysteries for you, right? Because I don't know how old this person is. I hope not too old.
You got to get an early start on the mystery game. It's like being a gymnast. Like,
but
you can't start young.
What could start as a small mystery could like unfurl to be like gangland,
like,
violence,
like
drug trade. Yeah,
Just like
a national treasure. He's trying to find the Constitution. Turns into a whole thing.
Starts out with him doing a tricky Sudoku, and by the end of it, he's just wrapped up in a fucking John Voight shoot 'em up.
That is the problem with if you've ever read anything, any mystery. It always starts with what appears to be a simple mystery. There, mm-hmm. I don't think you can definitively say this is going to pan out to be very simple, because what if it's like that sweater? You start pulling that yarn, and then it's just, well, there's a whole case here.
Mm-hmm.
And
then you have the mystery of the unraveled sweater.
Yeah. Your mom is super pissed off that her sweater's fucking gone. And she's like, here's a mystery for you.
Mystery solved. That was simple.
Let me look at some clues. Let me just think back. Yeah, it was me. I did that. It's a pretty good clue, my memory.
When we were little kids, I don't think Griffin
when was... When we were smaller.
I don't think Griffin was born yet, and Travis
Can we not tell
the
story then? Because, like...
Oh.
It gives a
this
shit.
Is okay. This is BGM before Griffin McElroy, and Travis and I had discovered food coloring, so we filled every drink we could get our hands on with food coloring, and then we decided to see what effect it would have on the carpets, and then our mom came down, and I just wanted to tell this story because that seems like a pretty easy mystery for her to solve.
Yep.
So if you could set that up for him, just put some food coloring on your mouth and on the couch and then sit there and wait. And I think that as his parents, it would be pretty easy.
And that was also just like a really good bit for like the Family Circus fans in the audience.
Like
people who don't like all the blue humor we usually do and just want some like Dennis the Menace-esque shenanigans.
I don't think there's anything wrong with being tasteful for a few minutes. I've been pushing to get us to be a little cleaner, and I think that was a great start.
Mm-hmm. What a fart.
I told the story on Twitter today about the jawbreaker in the theater. You guys know that one?
I don't think so.
Where we were seeing a play with Dad, and our dad used to be obsessed with these...
They were bird's egg jawbreakers.
Bird's egg. Sometimes they call them psychedelic jawbreakers. They're the white ones with the colorful flecks on them.
That when you eat them enough, those flecks turn into... Like
they become tactile.
They become like fucking burrs.
It's like a topographical map of the earth.
It's the worst thing to have in your mouth. I don't know why he was as obsessed with them as he was.
They're why our daddy has diabetes now, but he loved them back in the day. He had a whole, you could get him a Cracker Barrel. It was like his exclusive dealer. And I remember he had an empty shed spread country crock container that he kept up out of our reach.
Mac, you're back, huh? Wait till you see this new shit I got in. I've got the dopest, prickliest kush.
But anyway, so he was enjoying some of his prickly kush, and he laughed, and the jawbreaker pops out of his mouth and rolls down two aisles. And without missing a beat, he says, "Oh, my glass eye!" And he covers the socket with his hand, and this woman two aisles down picks it up and hands it back to him.
And he pops it right in his mouth because he's a dirty creep.
Our dad's a dirty
creep. Our dad's a creepy, dirty fuck. Just kidding. He's the best dad of all time. If you say anything like that about my dad, I'll take your skin. Take a
chance. Farm wisdom.
Farm wisdom.
Get your fork, it's not a spork. Farm wisdom.
I would like Griffin to read the first one, please.
Here's the first one. I grew up on a racehorse farm. Oh, the most exciting life. I grew up on a racehorse
farm. Welcome to the show, Paul Bear. The late Paul Bear who joined us.
When a veterinarian castrates a racehorse, they throw the detached balls up on the roof of the barn for good luck. Pretty gross, Jesse. Thanks, Jesse.
And I fact-checked that. That's 100%
That's
true.
That's 100%
an old wives' tale.
100% fuck you. There's no... Doesn't horse sperm sell for, like, hundo thous on...
You castrate a racehorse if it's having behavioral problems.
That's...
And then you have... Like, tell me, though. Promise me. That if you are going to do this for behavioral problems, you definitely, definitely bring the horse out of the yard and make
when
it
when you throw its balls on the roof.
Hey, come see this.
What? How did this old wife...
This is what you get for playing in my yard.
Hey, Orb, come watch this. See if it's funny to eat my pocket. Orb, come on.
How did this fucking witchcraft. Kiss. I can't imagine there was just a super lazy veterinary, old-timey...
Have you never heard Balls on the Roof, Fast in the Hoof?
I'm imagining, like, an 18th century veterinarian, like...
What do I do with these? They're slippery.
Maybe in the heat of a passionate horse crime, they cut off a horse's balls unwillingly and then had to dispose of the evidence.
Chinkle, chinkle.
Oh, God.
Got his balls. What do we do now?
Oh, fuck.
You gotta tie them on the back of your truck so that they hang comically as though they're the truck's testicles. It's very comical.
Is that the implication?
I believe so.
I'm going to go back when I'm editing the podcast and find the minute mark where Travis said he was going to start adding whiskey to his beverage and then time it out to now. And then we'll know, like, the porousness of his liver. What's the other pharmism?
Chickens play dead and fart through their mouths. And that's from Jillian.
It's the best Smiths album. I don't care what anybody says. It is the best.
Hey, everybody. I hope you're enjoying this Bros Better, Bros Best. Sorry it's not a new episode. Justin and Griffin both lost power for a long time. When I'm recording this, Justin still doesn't have power in his house and is staying in a hotel. Everybody is safe. Everybody is warm. It's just been very chaotic for the last week. So I hope you'll bear with us and understand. And now enjoy the Money Zone. Online shopping can be daunting. Listen. I'm worried enough doing my grocery shopping online. I still do it because it's cool and it's the good thing to do. But it's even scarier buying clothes because I don't know what's going to fit on my body. I don't know what's going to look good on my body. And I barely even know what my own style is. That's why I love Stitch Fix. This season, let Stitch Fix do all the hard work for you. They're going to find clothing hand-selected by expert stylists for your unique size, style, and budget. And one of my favorite parts, you can try on pieces at home before you buy. You try them on, you keep your favorites, you send back the rest. Stitch Fix has free shipping, easy returns and exchanges, and a prepaid return envelope is included, and there's no subscription required. I've been using Stitch Fix for a while now, so if you see me and you're like, Travis's style game has really stepped up, it's all thanks to Stitch Fix. I wish I could take credit for it, but so much of that is Stitch Fix. And it's not just like, you know, shirts and pants. It's cool shoes. I've gotten cool jackets. There's lots of stuff in there. It's all amazing. Highly recommend you check it out. And you can get started today at stitchfix.com/mybrother, and you'll get 25% off when you keep everything in your fix. That's stitchfix.com/mybrother for 25% off when you keep everything in your fix. stitchfix.com/mybrother. Be really honest with me. Be really honest. Hey, are you ready? Are you ready to be super honest with me? Do you like your sheets? Do you love them? Or have you just been sleeping on them so long you don't think about them anymore? Because I'm willing to bet that when you really stop to think about it, you maybe don't love your sheets as much as you could. And that's because you don't have Brooklinen. See, Brooklinen are amazing sheets that I love, and so I know you'll love, because Brooklinen was founded as the first direct-to-consumer bedding company. They work directly with manufacturers to make luxury available directly to you without the luxury-level markups. They have a variety of sheets, colors, patterns, and materials to fit your needs and tastes, and Brooklinen is so much more than sheets. They've got comforters, pillows, towels, even loungewear and more. Listen, I love their sheets very much. This is absolutely true. But my life changed when I got Brooklinen towels. It's all I use now. Highly recommend. Love them. The sheets are comfortable. The towels are great. Go check them out. Go to brooklinen.com and use promo code MYBROTHER to get $25 off when you spend $100 or more plus free shipping. That's brooklinen.com and enter promo code MYBROTHER to get $25 off when you spend $100 or more plus free shipping. brooklinen.com and use promo code MYBROTHER at checkout. Real quick, a couple of announcements before we get back to the Bros Better Bros Best. In case you missed it last week, we had to postpone the Adventure Zone virtual live show because of the
inclement weather conditions, but we have rescheduled it. It's going to happen March 5th. Existing tickets are still good. Tickets are still available for purchase at live.themacro.family. And if you're interested in information on refunds, you can find info for refunds at bit.ly/TazRefunds. The show is virtual and interactive. It's going to be March 5th at 9 p.m. Eastern time. Basically, there will come times in the show where you're going to get to vote to decide what the players do. We're going to be playing Honey Heist with special guest Erica Ishii. Tickets are only $10. And like I said, you can get them at live.themacroid.family. Make sure you check out the February merch, especially that pin of the month before it's gone. It's Boy Car from the My Brother, My Brother and Me TV show, designed by Zachary Sterling. It benefits No Us Without You LA. No Us Without You is providing food security for undocumented back of house staff and their families in Los Angeles. Don't forget to check out the Taste of a Luxury stemless wine glass, the Taste of Luxury shirt designed by Kevin Budnick, and Candle Nights video on demand is still available. It's pay what you want, and all proceeds go to Harmony House. And hey, while you're thinking about it, go ahead and pre-order the Adventure Zone Crystal Kingdom. It's available now. The pre-order is. It's going to come out July 13th, 2021, and you can get that pre-order at theadventurezonecomic.com. Now, back to the show.
Hey, kid. Your dad tell you about the time he broke Steven Dorff's nose at the Kids' Choice Awards?
In Dead Pilot Society, scripts that were developed by studios and networks but were never produced are given the table reads they deserve.
When I was a kid, I had to spend my Christmas break filming a PSA about angel dust. So yeah, being a kid sucks sometimes.
Presented by Andrew Reich and Ben Blacker. Dead Pilot Society, twice a month on MaximumFun.org.
You know, the show you like, that hobo with the scarf who lives in a magic dumpster.
Doctor Who?
Yeah!
And I'm sorry if this is too weird.
Do you smell a person while hugging? Be true.
He adds, definitely yes. It gives you a kind of an idea of what kind of a person he or she is.
Does it?
I'm trying to think if I've ever, like, intentionally...
Yeah, because that's the thing. You mean, like, oh, I hug someone and, you know, like, I'm breathing.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Or do you mean, like, I hug someone and go...
It's like when you scope it out, when you scope out a situation, you see it with your eyes. Like, the neurons are already in your brain. Once you perceive the thing, the neurons are going to go where they want to go. They're going to fire off the synapses that they want to fire off, and then all of a sudden you know if that person's attractive or not. When you hug someone, you have smell particles going in your nose that are firing off those.
Well, your eyes can be deceived, Griffin.
Right.
That's true.
But smell particles can't lie.
I think that my usual MO is to... Like, I'll do a regular inhale, like, mm-hmm. as I'm going in for the hug, just breathing.
Oh, man.
But then, if I like, sort of, I like...
Oh, you'll go in for secondsies.
I'll go,
you'll take a second. Deeper. Hey, do you mind if I take a second scoop? Just real quick. Let me just get a second scoop real quick.
Is this one per customer, or can I have two?
Can I have how much for an extra shot?
I feel like if you get an extra whiff in, though, you definitely do have to comment.
Oh, man, definitely.
You just have to say, like... Okay, can I hug the other shoulder now?
Go
to the right.
Yep, like the French do it. I have
the French do it.
This
double
is
hugs.
This is a serious, serious problem for men of my sinusistic who have my particular almost
set
constant set of maladies relating to my nose zone, which is to say, it's either hay fever season or mold season or some kind of season constantly here in Austin. So I'm constantly sniffling. And if I'm hugging someone, I mean, every 10 seconds I have to sniff. And like, if they land in that period, like it is going to seem like I'm like, oh, hey, bring it in. Yeah. I haven't seen you in a while. What? No, it's just, yeah, I'm sick.
Well, then why not just embrace it and be like, you smell great.
Just say you smell great. Everybody wants to hear that. You brighten somebody's day. They don't think it's weird.
Or you've been working out. A compliment. It's a great compliment when not said right after sniffing.
Because when somebody's fit, the scent that they produce is way, way, way better when they've just...
Oh, no, I meant that they were working out immediately prior to the hug.
Oh, God.
Like, so they smell like gym funk.
That's
also, have you guys met my friend Jim Funk?
I want to ask you guys, this is related, and it's something that's been on my mind for a few days. I was watching something on TV, I don't know, but you see it all the time. And a television program. A few people were meeting, and when they were greeting each other, the guy goes in and kisses the woman's cheek as like a greeting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And you see this happen.
Was it his wife or his mom?
No.
Okay. Well,
but
then
you see people doing. I mean, it happens. People do it. I don't know. I mean, grown-ups are always doing this, and I see it on television and sometimes in real life. And mm-hmm. I don't know how you would even begin to add that layer to your social repertoire.
Yeah, I don't know. Because I honestly, I've tried it. Like I've done a couple of, you know, just preliminary tries of the cheek kiss greeting. Just to kind of take it for a spin.
I gotta hear this.
Hey, listen.
I gotta hear about your dry runs,
Jeff. I don't want to weird you out, but do you want to experiment with me? I want to try something out.
It's like, okay, so you know that awkward moment when like someone goes for a hug and you go for a handshake?
Yeah.
It's like that times like eight. Because it's like...
Just eight? That seems so conservative.
Griffin, I've done a lot of a number crunching on this. Is eight.
Because the person
the
pulled back.
Chances that someone's going to fucking headbutt you is pretty high.
The person pulled back and was like, that was eight times weirder than when you go for a hug and they go for a handshake. That was exactly 800% weirder.
I took fucking statistics in college, yeah. And I do, in fact, know what I'm talking about. I've got a survey size of 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And it was well, eight across the board. Well, you just told us it was two. What? No, I said a couple. That could be 1,000.
How did you... Could have been 1,000. How did you... What... Had you been drinking? Like, what? I don't know what.
Yeah, I can't even imagine.
That's a horrible experiment. I did it in laboratory conditions.
Did you do one dude, one lady? Just to see how it felt like.
I did 500 dudes and 500 ladies. And it was mostly for college credit because I can't afford to pay that many people.
Sure. Sure. Well, your fucking mouth would have been busted after 1,000 smooches.
I had a robot.
Okay.
I didn't do it myself.
Right. Pretend this robot is a loved one you haven't seen in a long time. You're acquaintances, but not lovers. Okay. Uh-huh. Now the scene is set.
How many times worse was that?
Enter the smooching chamber. The background is set. Enter the smoochatorium.
Well, you don't want to skew the results, so I had to tell them they were there for a sleep study.
Something is going to happen in this room with this stranger robot that's going to make you uncomfortable. Have fun. Science.
Get your college credit on the way out.
Mm-hmm. It's important that they don't know that the robot is part of the experiment, though. Or else it'll ruin the truth of the experiment.
Mm.
Take a chance.
Farm wisdom. Farm wisdom. Get your cow into a suit. Farm wisdom.
Oh, what if you put your cow in a person suit?
Yeah, I'm a human. I'm a skin. I'm a flesho. What would they be called?
Humies?
Humies, maybe, humies? I guess.
I'm a humie.
Cows are proven to have... Oh, no. You know what, Travis? You should read Farm Wisdom. That's your thing, I think.
Okay. Cows are proven to have best friends. If they're separated from each other, they get stressed and their milk yields suffer. That's from Victoria. I don't know why, but I find that fucking like heartwarming.
Oh, it's amazing. I actually watched there's this documentary on Netflix about, I think it's called Animal Odd Couples, and it's about like this dog and this cheetah are best pals, and so to interview zookeepers, they're like, yeah, I don't know what fucking happened. This dog and cheetah just started hanging out together, but you knew that they just put them in a cage. Like, let's see what'll happen. You know, they went through like 14 dogs and 6 cheetahs before they found the right mix.
Griffin, I cannot imagine how bad of a day you have to have before you decide that you deserve Animal Odd.
We watched a very bleak marathon of Homeland, and I was like, we gotta fucking boost these spirits. Let's watch a monkey on a dog.
Travis, any other farm wisdom this
week?
Yeah,
I want Griffin to read the second one.
This one is sent in by Laura. Thank you. She says, if you want to get rid of a groundhog, pee in its hole. It will move to a better neighborhood. Oh, the property values around here have just plummeted ever since Jeff peed in our borough.
I feel like a bad element's moved in ever since Jeff peed in here.
Hey, Jeff, what are you doing?
Hey, neighbor. Howdy, neighbor.
Hey, neighbor. I'm just gardening.
Yeah, I just put in my last mortgage payment today. We own the... Jeff.
Just repainted the kid's room. We pretty have... Jeff.
At least the smell's going to go... Oh, you ate asparagus? Ah, fucking Jeff.
You know, honey, earlier today I was telling Jeff about our groundhog problem. Oh, God damn it. God damn it, Julia. I told you not to tell Jeff about our groundhogs. He's outside already. Son of a bitch.
I kind
of
feel like that's a catch-all way to get anything to move out of the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Like, is there an animal that, like, you pee in its burrow and it's like, nice.
Nice. Sweet. Yeah. Probably prairie dogs. Fucking nasty-ass rodents. Let's get some piss up in here. Yeah, now the party's really getting started.
We're all freaks. You know rattlesnakes are getting dirty. You love it.
You guys want a Yahoo?
Please.
This Yahoo was sent in by Bobby Mitchell. Thank you, Bobby. It's by Yahoo Answers user Demonica, who asks, do these guys want to steal my horse? It's very complicated, but I'm going to try my best of what's happening. I got an healthy racehorse. He's 4 and beautiful and calm as anything. He's a dream horse. So anyway, there's a group of lads. They keep on pointing my horse out in the field or in the stable. They asked me if he was mine today. I was on a hack out with him, and the guys keep their eyes on him. And when they noticed I was watching them, they turned the other way. So when I came back to the stables, they were outside my stable door and said, oh, he's beautiful, isn't he? But there's something suspicious about their behavior, right?
They also won't stop beating it.
I also notice when I'm riding in the arena, they watch him in a far distance outside the gate. So any idea of why they seem more attached to my horse? Are they flirting? Other people are also interested in him, but they don't do what they do, so I'm finding their actions very suspicious. What should I do?
She means, are they flirting with her?
It's hard to tell. Okay. By lads, she may actually mean 4 other horses. Like, horses are following her horse around, going to steal this horse. It'll be like horse taken.
You know, I think she might be projecting a little bit. She just loves that horse so much that she assumes everyone else would want to get into this dream horse.
Get into it?
They just want to take a, you know, they want to get inside, like sit in the passenger seat.
Right. Get into its whole scenario. They think, hey, like you could, you know, really get into it.
Like that scene in Ace Ventura when nature calls when he's inside the rhino.
God, if we could go.
No, I don't mean like literally into. I mean like when you go to the car dealership, it's like, I can get you into a new sedan.
What's it going to take to put you inside this horse?
You know, I don't think a horse can have a sidecar, Justin, if that's what you're suggesting.
Does AC come standard on this horse?
Is this a standard or automatic horse? I see.
Can you even steal a horse? Like,
if you can, the worst thing you can do is sit there and go, that's a beautiful horse.
That's a beautiful.
No, you know what?
Lovely horse.
What kind of oats? Does he eat any kind of special oats?
Do you lock the barn or how would I steal him, just hypothetically?
The problem with the idea of stealing a horse is because it implies that you can own a horse. And as we all know,
not possible.
Nobody can own a horse. They are like freedom incarnate.
You can.
You steal a dream?
You steal a hope?
You can
steal wishes?
At best, you can form a partnership, a voluntary partnership with a horse. But there is no title involved in the process.
And if anything, it's a tenuous agreement.
Can you steal a sunset? Can you?
Take a chance. How about a Yahoo? This Yahoo is sent in by Andy Hill. Thank you, Andy. It's by Yahoo Answers user John. It's going to get gross. Here goes. Yeah, John asks, detailed, how to kiss, please.
Oh, no.
Some girls like making out with me, and some say I use too much teeth. Help me out here, guys. How should you kiss?
Shouldn't use your teeth.
Teeth is a bad. Well, sometimes you get, you know, if it's getting a little.
Of the enunciators.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that teeth are the least important in the equation, and lips and tip of the tongue are probably much.
Yeah, I don't think he's worried about hitting his hard consonants while he's mouth deep.
Help with my plosives,
guys. I actually just got a letter from my lawyer. He says that it would be too weird for me to continue to participate in this particular conversation.
I actually just got a letter from my copyright lawyer who said that if I give away my secrets, I will be infringing on my patents.
Okay, let's go off the record here.
Okay.
Let me turn the chair around, and that officially means we're off the record. And none of this.
Okay, just to be clear, any kissing secrets they give away here cannot be used professionally.
Do not tweet them. Do not quote us in your local periodicals. But we are about to drop some science on you. Girls love it when you just run your teeth into their teeth.
If there's not a loud click.
I did that. I did that a lot in high school, and the girls would be like, ow, what the fuck? And I'd be like, what's wrong? Don't you know? That's how it's good. That's what's good. That's good now.
The secret, girls also like it when you sword fight with your tongues.
Oh.
When you really get in there and like Greco-Roman wrestle with that shit.
If you make a mistake and you seem to set them off wrong, you need to pretend that it's the way they do it in whatever the next level of education for you is. So if you're in middle school and your teeth click and they say, oh, hey, I hate that, you say, well, that's, listen.
This is what they do at the Adult Learning Annex.
This is how they do it in my doctorate program. So, I don't know. You just need to maybe get a little more mature.
If you do make a mistake, though, the best way to do it is to just lean in real close to their ear and just go, uh-oh, Cheerios.
Yeah, that's going to really ignite the night. I think it's really going to set this situation ablaze.
The trick is to be thorough. Like just get your whole mouth in their mouth and just like sort of scout around like a surgeon fish.
My number one kissing rule is kiss every tooth.
Kiss every tooth one by one. Let me see that. What you got, a little molar?
And if that starts to get stale, just start going around the face. You know, go for the eyes, the nose, no holds barred.
Use your nose. Put your fucking eyelash on their tongue and like just give them some of that for a bit. Put your nose put your nose in their ear.
Yeah, just act like you're a puppy looking for some stray pizza sauce pizza night.
After Pizza Thursdays. Don't explore their mouth after Pizza Thursdays though.
Ooh, no.
And you know what else girls love? Women and gentlemen enjoy that before you do anything, you ask. And I mean constantly, is it okay if I kiss your eyeball? May I kiss your nose?
You kiss him.
I'm gonna look behind your ear for pizza sauce.
Yeah, or just if you're doing the mouth too, just give him like a. Can I kiss your mouth? Can I kiss your mouth? Can I kiss your mouth again? I really
and keep growing in intensity every time.
Can I kiss your mouth? How about that mouth?
Can I kiss? Please?
Can I ask?
Give me that mouth.
How are we going to alert our listeners that it is now safe to walk across the room and pick up the headphones that they have surely by now cast from their
I've business? Got like at least three more minutes
somewhere
of smooching
there's some
tips.
Dude with a notepad going, ask before you do any of this is good. This is good
pizza
stuff.
Thursdays. Okay. Mm-hmm. Got it. This is all good. Take a
chance. This Yahoo was sent in by Wayne Rowan. Thank you, Wayne. It's by Yahoo Answers user Sophie who asks, do horses have any emotions that humans don't have? I am actually doing a horse behavior presentation for an equine class I'm in. But I was wondering if horses had exactly the same emotions that we humans do. Humans is in parentheses, as if, like, you didn't fucking know.
As we humans do. Okay.
I went on a website that told me the types of behavior that horses have. Buckle your asses in.
Can I make one quick point before you tell me the behavior, the things that horses have? I want to see if you get something valuable from this before your presentation. I definitely, definitely can't wait to see this line on the bibliography. I cannot wait to see how you cite the information you received from Yahoo Answers.
Acceptance.
That's fair. If you're professionally being ridden,
right? Well,
you need that.
It's not ideal, but I don't have opposable thumbs. So
I love oats and apples. So what can I do?
Affection, sure.
Sure.
This is my favorite. Anger 1 and anger 2.
anger one is like a quiet, reserved anger, and anger two is like an explosion of biting.
Yeah.
It's just spurs. That's the only thing that does. If they see spurs, like,
I am angry out. One.
Breaking out the dose today. Annoyance.
Who doesn't?
Apathy.
Fine. Oats. I accepted too much.
Oats, I guess.
Another ride?
Yeah, sure. Perfect. Whatever. Sure. Jumps, tricks. It's all the same.
Beautifully soaring through nature like an earthbound dragon? Sure, why not?
Anxiety? What if I run out of oats? Could happen. Boredom?
Well, what? Okay, I can't blame them too much for that.
Right, it's like they can't even watch Game of Thrones. Like, what? Like, they don't get HBO Go.
Could you turn the TV towards the window, please?
Right.
I got a big day today. I'm either going to stand in grass or run in a loop. I can't wait to see what fate has in store.
Well, I mean, that's okay. Tame horses, yes. I could see them falling prey to boredom. Wild horses? Are you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me? Boredom for a wild horse? It can't happen. Wild horses aren't familiar with this emotion because they can just go jump over a brook they've never jumped over before.
I have to imagine that for a wild horse, it's mainly about anxiety because they're very fast. Mm-hmm. And I can see a situation where you're in a conversation deep with another horse friend, and then all of a sudden you look at him and you think, hey, Rodrigo, have you seen any grass for a while? And then Rodrigo's like, oh my God, you're right. There's no grass.
And they're in the middle of a parking lot.
Like, oh, great. This is going to be on the news.
Was no one paying attention? who was following who?
I'm feeling annoyance right now, which could be upgraded to anger one if something doesn't change.
If you keep running your fucking mouth, Rodrigo, it's going to get upgraded to anger two, and you don't want to see that. So maybe just relax and let me figure this out.
Compassion. It's got a fat rider. It's too bad. Listen, did you see Lucy? Lucy's got a fat rider. I know. poor thing.
If
poor
you are
dear.
A being that is mainly bred to be ridden, and you can still work up compassion for anything else, mm-hmm. like God bless you. That is a beautiful, beautiful reserve of goodwill.
Well, they feel bad for the burros.
Sure, sure they do.
For the burros.
Yeah. No. Roll the R's because it's for not authentic burros. If you don't. Thank you.
I don't know what animal you're talking about if you don't roll the R.
Contentment. Very few horses, I imagine, feel this. Orb definitely feel. Orb appreciates the fact that he has reached the physical fucking apex mm-hmm. of possibly any creature on the planet.
It's just anxiety, right? And you got to. And even if you win the Kentucky Derby, it's like, well, am I going to get the Triple Crown? That's what everybody starts asking. That's a lot of pressure.
Or am I going to be able to fucking keep up this perfect body until the Preakness? They're going to shower me in oats after this fucking thing.
Perform my stud duties?
Right. Oh, man.
Pressure.
Curiosity?
Doubtful.
Based on what?
Why is that doubtful?
Like, what are they curious about? They have everything they need hand delivered to them.
I wonder what driving a car is like.
Right.
If they are curious about it, I refuse to. If they're curious about anything, like, they're certainly not acting on it, because they seem to be kind of in a rut as a species.
Yeah, nobody's ever said curiosity killed the horse, because a horse will see, like, a fucking helicopter could land next to a horse, and a horse would be like, that's not an apple. Is that an apple? Back when you're, check for a stem. Nope, no stem. No thanks.
Come back when you're hay.
fear? Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, daily.
If there's a bull snake around, those things are terrified.
Loneliness? Not if I have anything to say about it. Physical suffering? Yes, sure.
Yeah, definitely, 100%. Yeah, absolutely.
They are their entire being is suspended in a state of constant suffering. So yes,
think about how sad. When horses get the spurs and then they run faster, they're trying to run away from a danger that is like physically attached to them.
Right.
That's the saddest thing in the world.
Which most humans have. But do horses have any emotions that humans don't have or that humans can't relate to? Thanks.
Prance.
The latter? Yeah. What?
Prancing.
Prancing is my... Yeah.
I've never felt prancing.
I don't think that's beyond human... It's beyond you, yes. Just because of, like... your physique, no mm-hmm. offense.
Wouldn't you think, though, that if the horses did have an emotion that we don't have in humankind, then we probably don't have a human word for it, right?
Right. It's sort of like it's kind of like the flavor umami.
Sure.
It is. It's an indescribable thing. It's like if there were any new colors that we didn't know, we would know about it. You know what I mean?
Take a chance. You know, I lose stuff a lot because I have a tendency to like absentmindedly sit stuff down, and then just keep going. And it's like I know that I've sat my keys down at some point, but I can't picture where. And what I do, and it's not exactly like a very proud moment, but I'll just loudly announce like I'm setting my keys on the dresser. And make it active. It's pretty dorky, but it works, and I don't lose shit anymore.
Do you ever you ever sing a little song?
Dresser keys. Will you be there when I need?
Putting my wallet on the toilet paper dispenser in the bathroom. Gotta do it. What if there's pee on the floor? It's okay if it gets on my pants. I'm just wearing these for one day. But who am I, Mr. Buy a New Wallet Every Week When I Get Pee on It Guy? No. Toilet paper wallet, you're my best friend and I love you.
You know, people say Weird Al Yankovic has lost his step, but I think his tunes are as fresh as they were in the 80s.
Take a chance.
Can a 27-year-old sign up for high school again? I want to see if I can go back to high school. I have a car and bigger muscles now. So I think I'll be more popular the second time around. And I've always wanted to be prom king. So what do I need to go back to high school?
Is this buzz marketing for 21 Jump Street?
I'm getting my master's in high school. I'm getting my post-grad in high school.
What you need is a teaching certificate. And then you can go back as a teacher.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
That's the only way you can go back there. And then beat up all the people who are mean to you, I guess.
There's no loophole where you can, like... I recognize now, at the age of 26, when I've finished... Unless I go back for some master's program, which doesn't seem likely. Like, I've done all the school I'm going to do, mm-hmm. and it's only now that I realize, like, man, I actually like learning. Like, fuck, I wish I'd paid attention to, like, anything.
Yeah. I feel that way, too. Now that I'm older... I'm, like, reading books to teach myself
things. I'm, like, trying to teach myself, like, complex subjects that are impossible to teach yourself. And I'm like, man, if only I had fucking, like, done anything. Like, any amount of work instead of just, like, the requisite shit to get by.
Mm-hmm.
I think college should be something you get to do in installments. Because that way you really appreciate it. Because as you get older, you want to learn. I like learning now. Back then, I hated waking up more.
I think that after, like, when you complete your sophomore year, someone should sit you down and be like, are you appreciating this? And you're like, yeah, I'm not.
I'm probably not.
I'm like, okay, great. Cool. Just go off for a while, and when you do appreciate this, we'll welcome you back.
But, Trav, you can't put that like that. If there's a definition of what adulthood is, it's realizing that you didn't appreciate stuff enough.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. that's it. Because if you can figure out how to turn back time and do that easy stuff again, because, like, let's be honest, going to college, for all its ups and downs, is a lot easier than having a job.
Yeah.
So what if,
okay,
what if we start giving jobs to 12-year-olds? And then you work from 12 to 21, and then you get to go back to school.
But the only jobs we give them are college professors. Now hear me out.
Okay. Don't do this. Don't go to a high school like you are, as you are now as a man. You won't be allowed in. They won't let you in like you are now. You're old and
they'll know
that you don't want to do great things there. So I wouldn't even try. It probably seems like a good idea in the brain. But I'm pretty sure hindsight's going to be 20/20 on this particular thing that you want to do that's terrible.
Especially when you're on 2020
mm-hmm.
and they're like, what were you thinking? And you're like, you know, in hindsight.
This grown man tried to wear a Justin Bieber t-shirt and go back to high school. What would you do?
But fucking, what if he went 4 years and he made it to senior prom and he was in the running and then like 2 days before, like, I don't know, some kid lost his legs that it was also in the running, lost his legs in some sort of industrial accident. And this guy's like, fuck, like I spent 4 years for this day. And this
the worst day of my life.
And this little leg kid's gonna fucking swoop in at the last second
He probably won't be swooping.
Like some sort of legless Tarzan. Son of a bitch.
On the plus side.
Gotta do it again.
Gotta do it 31 again.
31, start all over in a different town.
On the plus side, I'm sick at times tables, and my cursive is off the chart.
It's fucking insane. Take a chance. How can I legally change my dog's name? His name is Larry. I want to change it to Larry's Fiesta Party on the House.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to open up a food truck inside my dog.
Or additional details. Or Hot Dog Party Days.
It's a really good name for a dog. Why do people keep sticking with one word name for dogs?
What this person doesn't say is that this is the dog's request.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Larry feels so unsophisticated, so unironic.
I don't know what channels you need to go through, but I've written down some suggestions.
It's why we don't teach dogs English, because they ask for stupid things like this.
This is why I brought this question up, is because it brings up a good point. I'm learning all about sort of the life of dogs. We already discussed my revelation about dog periods. Like, dogs go through a lot of the same shit that we go through. But at the same time, if I take my dog, nay Larry, right? Previously, his previous given name was Larry, and I have decided to change it to Larry's Fiesta Party on the House.
The
and
puppy I take that formerly dog, known as Larry.
Right, and I take LFPH to the vet, and they're like, Larry? And I say, no, it's Larry's Fiesta Party on the House. They're not going to be like, says here on his documentation it's Larry, right? Or do I need to, like, go to the fucking courthouse, get a new social security card for my goddamn dog? I thought it was just, like, my property. Like, if I call my table Jerry, then I can change it to Jerry's Fiesta Party on the House, my table.
I'm going to throw this out. There actually is a circumstance in which you would have to go through some channels to change your dog's name.
What the fuck?
If it is AKC registered. If it is registered with the American Kennel Club as a purebred dog, then you have to register
it. If it's a competition dog? Is that what you're saying? No, if you
breed it. Our dog, Nessie. Nessie was registered with the AKC as Nessie Bell McElroy. We would have had to contact them to change her name.
This makes me angry. I think back to the pioneer days. Horses didn't have no documentation. You know what I mean?
What about when all dogs go to heaven? Don't you want St. Pete to have... What if he doesn't have them? Then they go to hell.
I don't have a Who? Larry Fiesta Party I don't have on the a house Larry.
Can I break down, actually, Larry's Fiesta Party on the House?
Is on the House is a parenthetical?
I mean, you could just do it... I mean, Fiesta Party is obviously problematic.
Because you're really just saying Larry Party Party.
This is my dog Lawrence Party Party.
Larry's Fiesta Party casual get together. The dog. The movie. Did you see that movie? Oh, Christ. It asks or Hot Dog Party Days. I think we are Larry's Fiesta Party is.
I think we're pretty. I have my
is
heart
that in
set
case
on
the first name's already taken?
With the
oh,
AKC?
I'm sorry, we actually already have a Larry's Fiesta Party.
We have a champion basset hound named Larry's Fiesta Party on the House.
the fucking commentators at the Kennel Club show, the annual Kennel Club show, like, ladies and gentlemen, I know this is going to get confusing, but here comes the second Larry's Fiesta Party on the House. Another purebred basset hound. We have it's a battle of the Larry's Fiesta Party.
On the House.
We knew it. Somehow we all knew it would come down to this. A hush falls over the crowd.
It all comes down to the heat of their genitals.
They defecate at the same time. It is perfect.
We may have a multiverse situation. We may have a multiverse bleed.
They've made eye contact from across the room.
Travis, you know about dogs and shit. Is perfect defecation a category in the Westminster Kennel Club Dog
Only
Show
as a
America?
Tiebreaker.
Take a chance. I've been researching extensively to try to find some information about making swords. And I found this page from anvilfire.com.
Mm-hmm.
And they have sword myths / fiction. So let me hit you guys with some sword myths.
Yeah, what have I been getting wrong about swords this whole time?
Is it actual / fiction? Because no. I feel like that's really appropriate with swords.
Swords myths and sword fiction.
The Buster Blood. Sword from Final Fantasy VII and a samurai sword.
They met one day. He said, "You looking really good, Buster Sword." And then they clanged.
They clanged and clanged.
"I'm gonna clang!
I'm gonna clang all over your sheath."
Blood does not make a superior quenchant. This is an old myth.
Uh-huh.
Neither virgins or slaves have been used to test swords. That is a children's story.
What? You can't, children's
that is
story.
My favorite
get around,
children's story.
Get around,
who will help me test the blades?
How many of y'all fucked? None of y'all? Let me tell you, you'd be good sword fodder.
You cannot chop a machine gun barrel in two with a Japanese sword. Modern myth.
No, I saw that on Mythbusters. Myth busted.
Ancient steels were not superior to modern alloy steels.
Yeah, no
Another
shit.
Another modern myth.
It's because our steels are like genetically like superior in every way. They've been modified and enhanced and chopped and screwed.
Here's where things go weirdly askew. Atlantis was not in the Atlantic. The story of Atlantis was based on rumors of the demise of Minoan island culture in the Mediterranean by a volcanic eruption. The story was handed down by Egyptians to Plato, who turned the little truth into a myth.
Listen, Amplifier, I'm not going to tell you you're straying from the path of sword myths, but throw the word sword in there somewhere.
Yeah, they sometimes had swords, somebody in there. Adamantium is a fictional comic book element without any basis in reality, like kryptonite. It's just another unobtainium.
JFK was not actually assassinated by a sword. Like, yeah, dog, like, I know. I know that one.
Swords are not good food. Yeah, okay, thank you, Anvil.
Clouds are not made of small white swords. Like, thanks, website.
Mithril, J.R.R. Tolkien, is another mythical metal. Myth is all caps.
Thank you.
Last one. You cannot, and this is the one that I find very confusing on several levels, you cannot cold forge a sword from a leaf spring. Modern web myth / parody. What's the most hilarious parody on the web? There's a guy who cold forges a sword in a leaf spring. Everyone gets a real
That's a Weird Al Yankovic jam.
Does it say anything on there, Justin, about whether or not steak knives are just little swords?
Aren't cocktail swords real swords? True or false?
I feel like we all learned a lot about swords today.
Sword wisdom. Sword wisdom.
It is not a blade metal. It is not intrinsically sharp or hard, as recent TV commercial for razor blades indicates. This is more Hollywood hype and bad science written by advertising executives that know nothing of metallurgy.
Big corpos selling out. Well, what are you going to tell me next? That adamantium's real? Ugh.
Mm-hmm. Here we go. Last question.
This one is submitted by Charles Decker. Thank you, Charles Decker. It's by Yahoo Answers user Ive, who asks, "Is Mr. Pringle still alive? Why does my son make laser gun noises in the bathroom?"
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother, me. Kiss your dad.
Square on the lips.
Okay, that was the show. Hope you had some fun. Talked for an hour and now our job is done. Go back into the world, face the day ahead. Please don't tell our grandparents all the cuss words we said.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.